my name's Kate Rowles and I'm interviewing you for the Wellcome Trust as you're taking part in Anthony Gormley's One Another. The date today is the 7th of October 2009 and the time is 11:20 a.m. If I can please ask you to say your name, your age and where you're from.
So my name is Goretti Horgan and I'm 33 and I was born in Cork but I'm currently living in Derry in Northern Ireland.
And how are you today?
I'm fine, I'm good, yeah. I'm a little bit kind of nervous, stroke excited. I don't know whether I'm nervous or excited. I'm one or the other. But I'm looking forward to it. I can't believe I got picked. I'm kind of surprised. I filled it in with a load of other women who I'm involved in a campaign group with that I'll talk about in a minute. But it was like all filled it in and I didn't think any of us would get it, or maybe one of us would, but the fact that it was me, I was really surprised.
And when you found out that you had got a place on the plinth, how did you decide how you wanted to spend your hour?
Well, I decided before I even applied, basically, because what happened was there was a woman who was one of the early people up on the plinth, and she went up there. Now, I'm involved with an organisation called Alliance for Choice, which is the campaign to extend the 1967 Abortion Act in Northern Ireland. So right now, if you live in England, Wales or Scotland, and you need an abortion, you go to your doctor, and there's a process. It's not sort of trivial. There's a process, but the service is available on the National Health Service. It's free. It's confidential. It's available. If you live in Northern Ireland, abortion is completely illegal. Even if you've been raped, even if you've been a victim of incest, whatever horrible thing has happened to you, you know, it doesn't matter what situation you're in. It's completely illegal. And so the Alliance for Choice is an organisation who campaign to extend the same rights to the rest of the women in the UK. And a woman who's involved with Alliance for Choice was on the plinth, and she had, you know, like a poster and everything, but she didn't tell us in advance that she was going to do it. So we didn't have a chance to, like, do a press release or, like, get any attention or whatever. So when we saw it, we went, oh, this would be brilliant. Let's all see if we can get somebody else up there. So then everybody who works for Alliance for Choice applied, and as it happens, it was me that got picked somehow or another out of that sort of random thing. Or maybe someone else will get picked later on in the project, but so far it's been just me. So I knew what I was going to do, and so I bought a big banner which says extend the Abortion Act to Northern Ireland, and aside from that I haven't really got a plan. Obviously I'll talk about that to the camera when I'm up there, and a friend of mine is going to hand out some leaflets down in Trafalgar Square for anyone who's interested to let them know what I'm doing, and then after that I was just thinking about what actually was up there, and I thought I wanted to sit down because I just looks like it would be uncomfortable to stand up for an hour, and then I looked at Trafalgar Square and I noticed that the other plinths 1, 2 and 3, the people who the statues on there, they're all riding horses. So I thought, you know, just to fit in, so I've brought my nephew's enormous toy horse and I'm going to sit on that and attempt to... I also read somewhere that there was some proposal for a statue of the Queen riding a horse to go on the fourth plinth when this project is finished. And so I thought maybe I'd beat Lizzie to it and have a go first. So that's. But apart from that, that's it. I don't know, I've got a newspaper in case I get bored, but I've got a feeling, I've got a camera, so I take some pictures of what's going on around me. And I probably might repeat myself a little bit, talking about Alliance for Choice in Northern Ireland. But apart from that, I don't know. I might cry and just, I need a wee-wee, that's about it. We'll see what happens.
And how are you feeling about going up there now that you're here and it's about to happen?
Now I'm quite excited. Like, I kept all the way here, I kept thinking that something would go wrong, that, like, the taxi would go the wrong way, or I'd get here and you'd say, you idiot, this was yesterday, or I always thought, well, it won't really happen, but we're getting closer and closer now, and the fact that you're interviewing me, I'm increasingly thinking, this is actually happening now. This is actually, like, oh, I was going to get here and you were going to go, oh, you know, your passport's Irish, no, I'm sorry, it's British, or you can't take that horse up there, or, like, something was going to happen. But, of course, none of the above has happened. Everyone's been, like, really lovely and like, oh, great, lovely, yeah. So now it feels like, oh, it's really happening, how exciting. So, yeah, I'm excited.
And overall, what kind of experience are you hoping to have yourself by standing on the fourth plinth today and taking part in this art project?
So what I guess the main thing for me is that I think it's an opportunity to raise awareness about this really, really important cause. And it amazes me when I tell people about the fact that women in Northern Ireland can't get an abortion, even if they've been raped, even if they've been raped by a member of their own family, you know, they might be a victim of ongoing systematic abuse. When I tell people this, they sort of don't believe me. They go, are you sure? I thought everyone in the UK. And the idea that women across the UK have different rights, it's such a glaring fault in the system. I mean, if there are people who don't respect a woman's right to choose an abortion, you know, they're entitled to campaign on that front. But surely, you know, as the UK, how united are we if women in one big chunk of our country just don't have the same rights that other women have? So I'm hoping that I can just get that message out there, because I find when I tell people and when they understand what the situation is, they're outraged and they want to get involved and they want to sign petitions, they want to write to their MP, they want to do something. And then on a more personal level, I guess I just hope that people will think it's funny that I'm sitting on a horse, and I hope that I'll do something that I'll never get a chance to do again. I hope that it, because that was one of the other things that I thought is like, how often do you get a chance in your life to do something like this? And I came to the conclusion, not very often. So I hope that it'll just be an interesting experience. I'll have a chance to sort of meditate a bit up there and sort of, you know, cogitate on things and see the world from a different angle. And I hope it won't get too cold.
Can I ask you to say a little bit about yourself to give us an insight into you as a person?
Sure. So I'm Goretti Horgan, and I was born in Cork, but I moved to London when I was 18 months, nearly 2 years, just before my little sister was born. And so then I grew up in London. And we lived in, we lived mostly in North London, around like Wembley and that kind of area. And then I went to uni and I did various things and had various jobs. And now I work, I've worked for different universities, but now I work for the University of Ulster in Derry as a researcher. And I research mostly stuff around women's rights, international relations, and I've done some stuff about healthcare at the moment, but all still mostly from a sort of women's rights point of view. But, you know, I help other people with whatever research they've got going on. And I'm involved with all sorts of women's rights campaigns in Northern Ireland, but Alliance for Choice is the biggest one, and it's the one that I was with those people when we decided that we'd all sign up for the One Another project. So that's the one, that's the ticket I'm here on. Yeah. And what else should I say? I'm single. I don't know. I have a cat and a boyfriend, and that's they're all lovely. And what else do I do? I have hobbies. I like to do a lot of sport. I like to do some martial arts and stuff like that. And I love going to comedy clubs. And that's the thing I'm going to do while I'm in London. I'm going to go to a bunch of comedy clubs, Soho Comedy Club, and some other places around the West End, and see some comedians, because there's not very many comedians in Northern Ireland. We see sort of the same people over and over again, and occasionally you get somebody big comes out on tour, but you never see all the exciting new acts. So I'm going to see some comedy, and then I'm going to go and see my sister in Southampton and give my nephew his horse back, and that's what I'm going to do while I'm here.
Can I ask what your route was into your profession, your research area, and your field of study?
Interesting. When I was about 15, 16, I had a quite serious eating disorder, and I guess at that time I wasn't very clued up about sort of women's rights, and I was very sort of swept along with that whole, you know, beauty myth thing, that whole Cosmo, you know, sort of fashion magazine, stick thin model kind of thing. And it was when I was sort of recovering from that that I started to realise that that whole world wasn't really very helpful to women, and maybe that our whole world didn't really do a very good job of looking after the women who live in it. And that was in a lot of ways the first time that I started to think about women's rights, and I started to get involved with like feminism and groups like that. And it's interesting because it's interesting that I would notice that there was a problem because of things like Vogue and fashion magazines and eating disorders. And then when you actually go and look at the problem, you realise that it's much bigger than that, and you start hearing about, you know, genital mutilation and countries where women have virtually no rights, and you start realising that actually, you know, domestic violence, rape, and like it's such a huge problem. And you realise in a way it's almost frivolous that I first noticed this from looking at... from looking at fashion magazines. And although, you know, that said, let's not belittle eating disorders. They, you know, they kill a lot of people. So when I was a student, I started being involved, because I'm actually, my first degree is in maths, and I was doing maths at uni. And then I started getting involved in women's stuff. And so then after I worked for a bank for a little bit, and then I went back to university. And the next time around, I studied history and sociology and women's rights and politics. And it's sort of like, I don't know, I don't do any math anymore. I got deeper and deeper into that. Although it's still quite useful, having worked in finance, when you're working for charities and NGOs and somebody needs to look at the books or sort things out. It's no bad thing to have studied in the first place.
And what are you researching at the moment? Is there any particular study that you're doing?
I'm sort of doing all kinds of things. We've been looking at the moment at maternal health in Northern Ireland. So we're looking at things like the choices that pregnant women get, different maternity centres they can go to, in the choices whether they want to have like a hospital birth, where they want to give birth at home, or they want to go to some kind of specialist birthing centre. And of course, a lot of women don't have the choices that they want, which is all sort of tied into reproductive rights. And I've done a lot of research before on abortion rights in Northern Ireland, but at the moment we're looking at, and a lot of women have very traumatic birth experiences, and they don't get what they wanted, and it doesn't go as they'd planned, and people tell them what they should be doing, and they get very flustered, and they're not given very much control. So I'm looking at that kind of stuff, and I'm looking at how that affects women's health and how that varies by regions and all that kind of stuff. And that will tie in and really fit onto the end of other work I've done about women at other stages of pregnancy, particularly early stages, crisis pregnancy, women in trouble, and women who are worried about how their pregnancy is going, and women worried about their choices earlier on in pregnancy. So hopefully it will form part of a great big picture when it's finished.
Do you work mostly for universities in an academic sense, or is it sort of quite evenly spread with the work that you do with charities and action groups?
Well, I certainly only get paid when I'm working for universities, but even then not very much. So it's all it's all sort of tied in the sense that a lot of the research that I do will then be used by NGOs as to raise awareness. So when we find important things, we might get some, you know, really interesting statistic. The one that that is most often quoted is the fact that 40 women a week come over from Northern Ireland to mainland UK to access abortion services. So that's a statistic that's come out of research. I wish I could claim it was mine, but out of my colleague's research, which then Alliance for Choice, you know, it goes on posters, it goes everywhere. So it's really, really important to NGOs to have that research coming out. But at the same time, it's a different world, NGOs. It's about being on the streets and protesting, and sometimes it's about, you know, not quite as much as chaining yourself to the railings, but it's about marching the streets. And in Northern Ireland, campaigning about abortion is a hugely contentious issue. Like, it, I mean, in the rest of the UK, yeah, you might get shouted at or something like that. It's really refreshing when I'm over here to meet up with women campaigning in London, because they have all this reasonable behaviour. Like, they go into the House of Commons and you get to meet your MPs and people give speeches, and it's all very motivating. And occasionally somebody shows up, the last one I was over for, they had a woman showed up in a great big dress covered in pictures of Jesus. I thought it'd be funny to sing Get Your Rosaries Off My Ovaries. And so I started getting the crowd to do that. And she got very angry and started singing, I wouldn't want your ovaries near my rosaries, and accused us all of having AIDS, which was like, that sounds like, oh, well, there's some woman who's a bit nuts. In Northern Ireland, you genuinely might get physically attacked. And if you're a woman in Northern Ireland coming to visit our offices, there is quite often a sort of gauntlet of several, you know, like 100 yards of people stood outside screaming murderer at you, throwing stuff at you, and there's a good chance that people will try and take your photo and publish it and, you know, like, expose you. you know, I'm lucky in the sense that I come from a family where people are pretty cool about all that kind of stuff, so they can stick my photo on their website all they like, and I'm not bothered. But for a lot of young women in a totally desperate situation, especially women who are, you know, underage, maybe, you know, been victims of all kind of horrible things, you know, it's a frightening thing. And so a lot of what we do is getting out on the streets and trying to protect women from that, and it can be very physical and confrontational, whereas sitting in a university is usually a little calmer, and we interview people and it's all a little bit more like this.
What are your ambitions for your life, for your achievements? What would you like to do?
Well, I'd like to get the Abortion Act extended to Northern Ireland. That would be fantastic. And there's a lot of other women's rights issues that I'd like to get to the forefront of politics. Rape conviction rates is an obvious big one, 5.3% at the moment across the UK, and that's just reported rapes, and we know there's a massive problem of under-reporting because women figure with a 5.3% conviction rate. Why bother reporting? Domestic violence affects one in four women in the UK. Two women a week are killed by their intimate partners in the UK. And it's a culture thing. There's the potential for us to change culture. There's the potential, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I love going to comedy clubs, and yet so often when you go, the comedians are all men and they're all doing jokes about women, don't they talk too much, aren't they full of rubbish, you know, like all that kind of stuff. And then they do rape jokes, they do jokes about this, that and the other, and we just have to change the way that our culture works. We have to get rid of, you know, all the pornography everywhere. You know, it's just, it, like, you know, these days it's like you go on the internet and 80% of internet traffic or something is just porn. And it's not even, you know, it's hardcore porn. It's like really gross, violent, humiliating stuff. We've got lad mags at eye level to children, in newsagents everywhere next to the Beano. I mean, the culture that we live in is, you know, it's just the wrong culture, and it's a culture that just has so run away from treating women as equals and being respectful towards women, and giving women a fair chance. We've got a pay gap, we've got a pensions gap, we've got a recruitment gap, we've got a management gap, we've got a promotions gap. I mean, there just isn't an area of public life where there isn't a gap with women. Although, I noticed this morning on the plinth, it's been mostly women, so maybe we've got a reverse plinth gap.
Can I ask about where you're from, and maybe for you to say a little bit about your upbringing?
So I was born in Cork, and my family is all Irish, but we moved to London when I was 18 months old, and that was because my dad wanted to work in the computer industry, and he got some job in London that I don't really understand about anyway. He didn't like it, but he got another one and we stayed, and I lived in North London until I was about 12, and then we moved out to Bury St Edmunds in Suffolk, and we lived in the country until I was old enough to go to university. And there's just me and my mum, and I've got one little sister, and she's got the kid, my nephew Tommy, and she's pregnant again, about 10 weeks pregnant, so Tommy's about to get a little brother or sister to share his horse with. And I went to state schools in London, and then in East Anglia, and I don't know, I was quite a sort of troubled child, I guess. My parents are still together, but it wasn't exactly sort of joyfully happy childhood. My dad is quite controlling and bossy, and my mum sort of lets him have his way the whole time, and so he sort of, you know, the more she lets him have his way, the more he goes crazy. So we all kind of lived in fear of him. He gets very angry and screams at people. I'm not very close. I'm very close to my sister still, but I only see them about once or twice a year. We're not really very close. And I'm still quite close to my mum's mum is still alive, and I'm quite close to her, and she lives back in Cork, and I go back, I'd like to say I go back four or five times a year, but actually three is good. Like, I'd like to go back more. She's 89, and I mean, she's a lot of the things that you might expect from an 89-year-old, you know. She sort of forgets where she is quite a lot of the time. She hangs out the window and shouts racist things sometimes, and she does those things that 89-year-olds do. But, you know, we sort of tell her we don't agree with her, and we love her anyway. And I tried to explain that I was going on the plinth, but it's just too complicated. So the rest of my family know, but Grandma, I'll take the video, some photos, and I'll show her when I see her. She's got one of those, what is brilliant, we got one of those electric photo frames. So now I can just send her a little memory card and she can plug it in and she can see what I've been up to. And she'll recognise me and she'll just call me by my sister's name. But at least she can see where we've been.
What were your three words that you chose to describe yourself?
And I might be wrong. I think I said strong, free woman. I think that's what I wrote. And I just wrote that because, I don't know, it seemed like a lot of people were writing. Firstly, I didn't want to write like wacky, nutty, zany, because I just think that anyone who thinks they're crazy isn't. You know, it's that sort of, I don't know, it just seemed like. And then I guess I wanted to make the point, because this is about abortion rights and about the Alliance for Choice, and I wanted to make the point that I'm like, you know, in so many ways I'm perfectly capable of making my own decisions. You know, I'm all, do you know what I mean? The point about Alliance for Choice is that, it, you know, although we talk about it as being about abortion rights, really it's about a woman's right to choose. And my point is that I, you know, like every other adult woman in Northern Ireland, is smart enough and intelligent enough and independent enough. You know, any woman who's old enough to get pregnant is old enough to make for herself a decision about whether or not to go through with that. And it struck me that, I guess that's why I thought it would be a good thing to write.
Before you go and stand on the fourth plinth today,
yes.
Is there anything else that you would like to add or to mention? Any closing words, perhaps?
I don't think so, no. The website is called Alliance for Choice, NI. I was going to say .org, I can't remember now, I think it's .com. Anyway, Alliance for Choice, just Google it, that's where it is. And I have a website which is called Cruella Blog. That's my website. That's where the whole story of what I'm doing will go up at some point. And I think that's it, Kate. Thank you.
Thank you.